from the south 5 to 10, the chance of rain for tonight is 40%. And for Saturday, overcast and showers at times, high of 52, a mild wind out of west northwest, 10 to 15. Chance of rain for tomorrow is 60%. For tomorrow night, it's 70%.
As I sit at Swedish Delights and Sweet Treats on a Friday morning in Unalakleet, it's clear the owner, Thomas Simonson, has been here for hours already. Thomas whistles while the radio, or sometimes his favorite gospel music, plays in the background. And he moves around the kitchen, whisking eggs, setting timers, putting on water and coffee, sprinkling sugar on pastries, making sandwiches, and setting food in displays almost like a dance. I'm your host, Maddie Winchester, and you're listening to Story 49. As he slices tomatoes for the lunchtime sandwiches, Thomas tells me what's on the menu for today. Raspberry cave cookies, vanilla cream buns, chocolate balls, Swedish cinnamon rolls, St. Lucia buns, cheesecakes, sandwiches, and two types of quiche. And in addition to finding out how Thomas learned to make all of these delicious treats, in this episode, we'll discover how a Swedish bakery ended up in Unalakleet, and ask Thomas just what it is about baking that he enjoys, and what visions he has for his bakery in the future. But as with most stories, it's best to start at the beginning. Though he now lives in Unalakleet, Thomas was born very far away from this Alaskan village.
I am from Sweden, Scandinavia, and I lived there until I was 25.
Thomas moved to the U.S. to attend North Park University in Chicago, where he studied music with a particular focus on music in worship. And in Chicago is where he developed his connection to Western Alaska.
I moved up here last June, actually, after I graduated college down in Chicago. And I met my wife in Chicago, and she's from here. So we moved up really because when we got married, I would lose my current visa status and I would be thrown into the green card roller coaster. And turned out that I wasn't allowed to work while applying for a new visa. So I had to quit my job that I had while studying in Chicago. And we decided to move up here to be close to her family and to get that support.
Today, Thomas has a United States green card, but he also spends quite a bit of time thinking about what it means to be Swedish, as he runs Swedish Delights and Sweet Treats, a bakery inspired by the Swedish tradition of fika with which Thomas was raised.
I mean, we do have this thing called fika, which is a Swedish idea of several times a day you sit down with friends or family or colleagues and you have a cup of coffee or tea and you have a bun or a cookie and you kind of just stop what you're doing and you slow down and you relax a little bit. So it's more than a coffee break. It's way more recreational, I guess. The concept of fika is so big, like we fika all the time. You know, there's cafes and we call them fiks. And not everyone, but my parents and their generation and everyone older than that, they know how to make fika bread and cookies and, you know, all the traditional stuff. And they have a stock of buns in their freezer to warm up if they get visitors and whatever. When I grew up and all our birthday parties and stuff, it was always fika cookies and bread. So I didn't really grow up baking it myself, but I grew up around it. And it's such a, moving away from Sweden, I realized that it's such a big part of being Swedish is actually to have fika.
When you moved to the US, were you surprised that this kind of concept of a longer break was missing?
Not at first. Because I moved into an intense, you know, I got thrown into school right away in a different language than my own and in a different academic world and different culture. So all the energy that I had went into trying to get through the day and do well in school. And so I didn't really have time to sit down and think of, you know, Swedish meatballs, because I didn't really miss it. But when we moved up here, things are a bit slower up here in Unalakleet than in Chicago. And that's when I really started to think about, you know, what it means for me to be Swedish.
But before he had time to really start missing Fika, Thomas had to adapt to life in Unalakleet, a place he had visited only twice before.
I knew how things looked up here, and I didn't really know how I was to live up here. My wife told me to sell my fancy clothes in Chicago and shoes and stuff, because I wouldn't really wear it up here anyways, and I didn't really believe her, so I hauled it all up here and I haven't touched it, you know? So, but it's been fascinating to be up here. It's been a steep learning curve, and I've been trying to pick up on as many skills that I can, and trying to learn a bit of the language up here. And well, I love fishing, so I've been out fishing with net up the river with some elders, and learning how to cut fish in a traditional way, and smoke it and dry it. And I've been observing when, you know, the family here is cutting up seals and animals.
And as he adjusted to a new culture and learned a number of new skills that pertain to life in Unalakleet, Thomas began to work on another skill that had more to do with life back home, baking traditional Swedish pastries.
While missing fika and the fika tradition, and my mom's homemade, you know, cinnamon rolls and buns and everything, I started to try to make it myself, and I did a lot of batches of buns that didn't turn out so good. But I was learning by doing, and...
Did you make people eat them?
Oh, yeah. And I never, and not even today, I don't know how to make this single batch of dough for my Swedish cinnamon rolls taste good. But the double batch works really great, so I always make a double dough, double batch. Which gives me a lot of buns. And when I did it, we couldn't really eat them all, so I started to hand them out to people. And so I did that, and then people started to tell me I should open up a bakery and sell them. And I thought they were crazy, you know?
Thomas saw himself as a musician instead of a baker. But even though he wasn't quite sure, he looked more into the idea of opening a bakery, in part because his current job was ending.
I've been working for the church. My professional degree is in music and music and worship, so I help the church out with their daily and weekly operations, because the senior pastor retired last summer, so the church hired me as their worship director to keep some kind of consistency in it all. And my contract with the church ended in the end of May. The end of May came close, and I didn't know what else to do, really, and I'm not a guy that just sits around and wait for something to happen. I'll wait proactively, I guess. So I talked to this guy from church who owns this kitchen in the garage over here, and he said he had a kitchen fully equipped, and he was intending to be a baker himself 13 years ago, but that never happened. But he got all this stuff for it. So we walked over and I looked at it and I said, this will probably do real good. So he said, well, you could use it, because I'm not using it. So I said, all right, I'll use it. And I opened up a bakery.
Thomas opened his bakery in early April, deciding on the name Swedish Delights and Sweet Treats, one that he now sometimes regrets.
It's so long. Like, every time I write it, you know, and down, and it's, why did I pick this long name? Stupid. But it is what it is, you know, it's delights and sweet treats. It's not a lunch restaurant per se. It's not, you know, a pizzeria or a hamburgeria, or it's just delights, Swedish delights and sweet treats.
How do you say it in Swedish?
Oh, that's a good question. Caught me off guard. Svenska bullar och godsaker.
Coming up with the name, though, was one of the hardest parts of the process. Getting the bakery going was actually much easier than Thomas expected. And with the space secured from a friend at church, he was able to focus on business licenses and publicity.
Well, it was interesting because I'm always worry about, you know, me being an immigrant and, you know, having a work visa and now a green card, how that would affect things. But it was really easy. I went online and I got a business license from the state. Cost $50 and I had it in 2 minutes, and then I walked over to the city office and paid them $20 and I got their city license, and that was it. And then I, you know, keep track on how much tax I have to pay the city, and of course, you know, the regular stuff for IRS and stuff, but not much more than that.
And how did you get the word out?
Through family and friends, and posting, you know, posters all over the village, and a friend in Nome that always buys a lot of stuff, and she hands it out there and spread the words up in Nome and Facebook. I made a Facebook page for the bakery, and then I'm every day I call the radio station out here and announce that we're open and what kind of lunch we have, and so I think I've covered most of the venues that I can.
So people know you're here.
Yep, they know if the Swedish flag is hanging from the door, then it's open, and if not, it's closed.
But in order to open a bakery, Thomas also had to work on a menu.
The recipes, some of them are from my mom. Some of them I YouTubed. And some of them I found in a book that I bought. But what is common to all of the things that I'm making, they're all things that I love. You know, I don't make anything that I don't like myself. So if you come over and ask me to make a chocolate cake, I'll say no because I don't like chocolate and I don't know, you know, I don't know how it should taste and I don't know. So sometimes people come up and say, hey, you should do this, you should do that. And I'm like, well, honestly, those 18 things on the menu, they are the only things I can make, you know, in the whole world.
And while Thomas claims not to be a natural baker, he's learned a great deal in the kitchen and is working to adapt recipes and make them his own.
I learned that it's one thing to read a recipe and it's one thing to put the things together and make it work. And some of my recipes that I have, if someone would follow them and try to do what I do, they wouldn't succeed. Because in my head, I've changed and added, you know, so I know if it says this much of something, I know it's not that much, it's this much more, this much less, and then I make everything by hand. I don't use any machines to do anything. Well, the stove and the oven, of course, but...
No mixers?
No mixers. So I feel everything with my hands, and I believe that it's a huge thing. You know, I know how it should feel. I've learned a lot, and I can probably do more things than what's on the menu, but that's how it started. Those are the things I love, and I figure I'll start with what I know, then I'll work my way towards how I think it should taste, and I've learned a lot in the process.
And though the process to get the bakery going was fairly simple, it hasn't all been smooth sailing. Thomas has run into a number of challenges in the kitchen as he's learned to make his recipes.
What are some of the, like, early cooking mishaps that you've had?
Well, I think my first buns that I tried to make came out, the dough was real dense. Trying to work a dough with your rolling pin, that is as dense as a shoe, you know, rubber boot. It's horrible, and it's sweaty, and it's, you just curse, you know. So that was something that I really worked hard trying to figure out how to work a airy dough or fluffy dough. And then different kinds of ingredients in cookies will affect how the cookies comes out and how they look, and you know, looks are important in this business, I guess. If my baked goods and stuff doesn't come out and look the way I want them to look, I'll give them away or I sell them for very cheap because that's not how they should look, and I let people know that this is not, you know, how they should look. So I guess I take some pride in that, you know. And I got a bunch of timers over there. I got eight timers, nine timers all over the kitchen, because I get too easily distracted. So I've been burning a lot of stuff.
Thomas has also run into other challenges. He's had to figure out what will sell, deal with the ebb and flow of customers, and work around the difficulties in getting ingredients to Uniloclete.
Yeah, that's definitely an issue with ordering stuff and keeping stock. And I've learned that it's better to have more things in stock than less. Because it takes a long time for things to reach the village, and there's really nowhere I can go to get my ingredients here. I use as much as I can genuine Swedish products, which I have to order. You know, some things I can find on Amazon, but they're not necessarily Amazon Prime. So, and some things I have to order from eBay, and some things I have to order from online Swedish grocery, you know, stores. And that's one thing why I believe that no one really can duplicate my stuff here, because I am intentionally using Swedish ingredients as much as I can. And they are different. They taste different. They smell different than ingredients from the States.
But despite the challenges, the community's response has been overwhelming.
It's been great. The village has a sweet tooth, and they've been really supportive. Some days are better than others, of course. Yesterday was real slow. I was open on Monday, and Monday was the best day so far, you know, since I opened. So it's big contrasts. But even though people don't always come and spend their money, which is, you know, the best support I can get as a business owner, of course, they talk well about it, and they encourage me and support me with words, and so it's been good.
And when you're, you know, selling baked goods or coffee, are you also kind of spreading the message of Fika? Are people sitting here and hanging out? Are mm-hmm. they doing some Fika at their homes?
Well, some people sit down, and I show them that book, and it's in English, and it talks a lot about, you know, the tradition and what it's about, and there's at least one person a day that, you know, never been in here, and I could spread the gospel of Fika, I guess. But I always enjoy when people come in here and sit down. I like that. And I got Wi-Fi here too, so people can work and whatever they want to do here. And I bake right there and prepare everything right there on the table. And there's no hiding. They'll see everything I do, and I enjoy that.
Even though he's only been open for 2 months, Thomas already has some popular items.
From the beginning, it was the Swedish cinnamon roll, which is the signature, the Swedish fika bun. Every old lady back home, and I say old lady because it's usually old ladies that are baking, every old lady had their own way of braiding it or rolling it. It's, if you do it real simple, you do it like an American roll, you know, you just spread out the ingredients on the dough, and then you roll it, and then you cut it, and you can do that, but that's too easy, you know. It should look beautiful too. So I have my technique of rolling and braiding the dough so that it will look multi-layered, and it's a typical Swedish way. If you would go to a bakery or a cafe or a fik in Sweden, you would see buns, you know, braided like this.
So those have been popular. There have been any other really popular items?
Yep. My lunch quiche, I serve ham and cheese quiche and salmon dill quiche and people like them a lot. What I've heard is from several people is that it's the best crust they ever had. Someone said they could just sit there and eat the crust, so I guess that's good. But that is real popular. I have a vanilla cream filled bun that always sells well. And then there is a cookie that I make that is I guess it's similar to a thumbprint cookie. I call them a raspberry cave cookie, and they are real good. Then I just started to make, I got this recipe of a bread bun from an old family friend back home. She said, you know, I always made these buns my entire life, and all my kids are pretty much raised on them. And so I started to make them, and someone had them, and they were like, wow, this bread is real good. You should make a sandwich. So I started to make sandwiches, and the sandwiches almost always sell out.
But making all these items takes quite a bit of time. To get a better idea, I asked Thomas to walk me through his schedule on the days he's open.
Probably tonight I'll put the dry ingredients together for a couple of my doughs and cookies. I realized that saved me some time in the morning. So I prepared that the day before. And if I work quick, I could have buns out within 3 hours.
So what time are you showing up?
So I would show up at 6 in the morning if I'm late. Because there's some downtime while the dough is rising, but the doughs are rising different times. So it might be 45 minutes or an hour, 1 hour and a half. So it's not just like preparing it and wait for 2 hours. So while the bun dough is rising, that takes the longest time. I'll make cookies and whatever and prepare for the sandwiches and other things that I need to do. And then about 7:30 to 8, I start to roll the buns and prepare them. And then they have to sit for another 45 minutes to rise again. And while they are rising, I put the bread buns in the oven because they go a little quicker. And I prepare the sandwiches and coffee and put out the signs and stuff. And 8:45, I put the buns in the oven. And they come out after 5-6 minutes and smell real good. And they're smoking hot for people that comes and want to have a breakfast bun.
So you make everything the day of?
Yeah.
And does everything usually sell out?
No. But what I don't sell out, I put in goodie bags and I bring it out to the airports and sell it a little bit discounted because it's in a plastic bag. When you fly Raven or Panair to Anchorage or wherever, you get a cookie from them, or you get a bag of pretzels, I guess. And maybe some people like to have something else, you know, and that usually sells out.
And speaking of getting his treats onto airplanes, Thomas has catered to a few other places, both inside and outside of Alaska.
Yeah, I sold to Anchorage and Nome and Kotzebue. Actually sold a box of buns down to Chicago. Shipped it the other day and it came. They still tasted good, so I guess I cater to Chicago now too.
Is that something you'd hope to get into more in the future, you know? If anybody wants to submit an order or something, you could send out
all, you know, to get orders is, you know, great. I've been catering to a lot of the businesses and places here in the village. So I've got a couple of big catering orders, and that makes a huge difference at the end of the month. But I would love to, and there's really not a problem sending to other villages. It's a small fee to send with aircrafts, but the aircraft goes every day, so they can get freshly baked stuff the day of. So if anyone wants to, then I'll make it.
And while a Swedish bakery in Unalakleet seems out of place, the village actually has a long connection with the Swedish people. The village's first missionary, Axel Carlson, came to Unalakleet from Sweden and established the oldest mission of the Covenant Church in America. The church, which has roots in Sweden, also runs North Park University, which Thomas attended and which is a popular destination for students from Unalakleet. So because of this shared history and these shared cultural influences, I wanted to know if Thomas is finding ways to incorporate Western Alaska into his baking.
All the berries that I use comes from the tundra, blueberries and apix, salmon berries, and sometimes I get egg from people that owns chicken up here, chickens, so I get eggs to use. I haven't tried it yet, but I have seagull and adder eggs that I could use. I have a lot of salmon from that I use that I pulled up myself and prepared myself, and that's definitely a local thing.
And though he's excited about incorporating local Unalakleet ingredients and hopes to continue to do so in the future, Thomas is also intent on staying true to his Swedish roots.
The man who owns this bakery, or the facility, I guess, his daughters, for a short period of time, they had a donut shop, so he has a donut maker. And a lot of people have been asking me if I can make donuts, and I say no, because it's not very Swedish, you know? And I want to try to stay true to that, because what am I if I give up on, you know, being Swedish here? Then it's kind of fake. So I try to stick to the genuine feeling, you know. Where in Alaska can you go if you want to visit a real Swedish bakery with real Swedish food and stuff? And well, you go to Unalakleet. That's the only place.
And along with the history of Swedish people in Unalakleet comes the history of sweets in the village, and a talent for baking that Thomas really respects.
So you mentioned a donut shop, and you mentioned before Unalakleet has a history of having a sweet tooth. Mm-hmm. Do you know of any other bakeries or other things that have been in Unalakleet in the past?
There's been a couple of tries, but it hasn't really carried, or it's been too expensive, and now there's a lot of great bakers in the village. I am glad that I'm making Swedish stuff and not the local stuff. Man, you should see all, you know, we have Saturday markets sometimes, and people show up with their baked goods, and it's just beautiful. I kind of feel bad for having a bakery and selling my things. I know it tastes good, but these creations are just beautiful.
With this history of maybe bakeries or businesses that haven't made it, does that scare you or challenge you?
Challenge me, probably. I'm an enthusiastic guy, and I'm not really afraid to try, you know. And if it works, it works. And if not, then at least I've covered, you know, all the ingredients, and I covered my bills, and I didn't cover my vacation to Hawaii, but at least we had food on our table and roof over our head. And so if it comes down to that, then it was a great experience, and it paid the bills. But I'm not there yet. For now, it actually is doing real good. And I think consistency and always trying to find, you know, cheaper ingredients, and always try to save dollars, trying to stay consistent and opening hours and what I offer, and to branch out, I guess that's the key. And again, it's where would you go if you want a real Swedish cinnamon bun? Well, there's not very many options in Alaska, you know? And even, you know, as I said, in Chicago, there's a lot of ethnic restaurants and bakeries, and but even there, I have people that want to buy my stuff. I have something unique going on, and I think that is not just a bakery. You know, if it would have been just a bakery, then why would you go and buy something that you can make, you know, as good back home? But I'm not making that kind of stuff. I'm making different things, and if you want it, then you have to go and buy it.
As Thomas looks forward, he isn't quite sure about the future of the bakery, though he does have a few ideas.
As I said, this was a thing I started because a lack of something else. You know, I have an expensive degree in music, but the options are few in the village for that kind of degree. So when I need to sit down and really think of the vision, I will probably have to really invest in it or look for something else. Those are always, you know, the options, and I'm not really there yet. I'll enjoy it for a little bit longer, and then I will make a decision.
Though he's not sure about the future of the business, it's clear from watching him and talking to him that Thomas does truly enjoy baking. So I wanted to know why.
I enjoy the process of putting things together and see it turn into something else. I've always enjoyed it, no matter what, if I am instructing music, or if I'm teaching people something, or if I'm sorting paper or cleaning. You start with a mess and you move some things around and you see the finished product. And baking is fascinating because it really needs to be on point. You put all these ingredients together and they come out as, you know, something real good. And it's just satisfying to see that, you know.
And while he does enjoy baking, as he looks into the future, Thomas spends time thinking about his passions and about the kind of place that he wants Swedish Delights and Sweet Treats to be.
I would love for this place to be a place where people can come and just with the idea of fika that, you know, whatever you have on your shoulders or in your backpack, just sit down and
for right now. Has it become more of a passion, you know, in addition to a way to pay the bills?
That's a good question, because sometimes I curse the day I opened a bakery. Because, man, I like to sleep. But it's always a satisfying feeling to bake and to see the product and to see people come in and buy it and tell me, you know, how much they like it. But I rather enjoy giving stuff away than to sell it. That's the problem. That brings so much joy to give it away, you know, and then to sell it. And so I guess I have to overcome that if I'm going to run a business, to feel good about selling it. Passion? Music is my passion. I'm a musician. I'm a creative person. I enjoy create stuff. So I guess creating baked goods are part of my passion. Because that's who I am, you know, I enjoy the creative process. Is it my passion to be a baker, you know, full time? I don't think that's where my passion is. I would love for someone that's really passionate about baking to learn how to bake all of this and to run this operation. And I could say, yeah, I started it and it works and now it supports, you know, another family. But for now it supports me and my family and it's all good.
Many thanks to Thomas Simonsen for sharing his story, and to all of you for listening to Story 49. I'm your host, Maddie Winchester, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Story 49's theme song is Starchild by Mystery Mammal. If you or someone you know has a story to share, contact KNOM at 443-5221 or via email at story49@knom.org. Story 49, sharing your story, your voice, your Alaska.